What's going on, everybody? Yeah. This is Chris T on Fraggin' and Laggin'. Well, you pass time with procrastination. The education was a lie. The
winner decides what is the truth up in the matter, because the peasant he died. Young sir. Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request. Hey, there's a friend request. Hey, there's a friend request.
All right, this bastard is on my. Okay. GTFO, bitch.
All right, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy. The Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast.
Hey, everybody, this is Blaze this time. Welcome to the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast, brought to you from every podcasting platform in the world, I think. This is not possible without the founder of the podcast, Mr. Junkhead, the muscles from Miami, the beautiful bald-headed beast, the eagle from I don't know where, but I love you, Junkhead. How are you doing, brother?
You're going for the big stretch. What's going on, man? How you doing, man? And this podcast really wouldn't be possible without you, Blaze, the diva of Twitch, the diva of all content creation. So we're having a good time. Everyone that's enjoying the podcast, from me and Blaze, wholeheartedly want to say thank you. And it's an honor. And once again, Justin, thank you very much.
Thank you for bringing us in contact with this amazing specimen we're going to announce in a second, right?
I mean, I thought I had a good voice, but there's two things about this guy. This guy, it's an honor to have him on here. He's going to hit you with two things, and he's got the probably the sexiest voice on in gaming and all that stuff. And the man will fucking knock your lights out with a sweet Hadouken. It's an honor to bring you Chris T.
Hey, thank you guys. Boop. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this,
dude, man. I'm gonna need you to talk higher because I felt that I had a good voice, but.
No, you guys both have a good voice, but when Blaze was introducing you, I thought he was introducing me because he said bald-headed eagle. Like he was saying, damn, I was like, I've never had somebody call me bald-headed. Like, you know, like, I like that. How are you guys doing today?
We're good, man. We're doing great. So, I've been looking forward to this one. If you guys, because of personal stuff, we've had to reschedule it. So that's what makes this one even better. So, like I said, Blaze and I, we've checked you out a little bit. I am jealous of your voice. I need to know how you get it like that. What I got to do? Because I need to get there. You're like the Barry White of gaming, you know?
I've gotten that quite often. I got to do more with it, you know? Got to do more with the voice. I'm trying to be on CNN or some TV news station, you know?
I mean, you can record my sound alert on my stream like, hey, you sexy mama, thank you for the follow. Like, I'll get a double sub, I think.
I've gotten pretty weird requests like that before, so it wouldn't be the first time.
I can only imagine. Look, Blaze, you are trying to monopolize Chris T and everything he's accomplished with his voice, but this is going to be a really enjoyable one because the idea behind Fraggin' and Laggin' is we get to hear people's stories and learn about them. And talking before we're recording, this is actually a really cool story, how he started and his accomplishments. So everybody out there that's fans of Chris T, the floor is yours. Chris, go ahead.
Chris, yes. The floor is yours.
Floor is mine. All right.
Let's go, baby.
Okay, so I guess we could start off with how I got into gaming in the first place. I started, my earliest memories are of video games. I think my earliest memory is of Street Fighter 2, to be honest. And that was because my older brother had brought home Street Fighter 2 on Sega. And I remember playing that with him, and I have a distinct memory where I wanted to play Ryu, but because he was the older brother, in my culture, the older brother, you know, gets to do what he wants. If he says this, then it's what he wants. So he wanted to play Ryu, and I was like, okay. And I remember just going down once, I saw Ken, I picked Ken, and from that moment on, Ken was my character. And keep this in mind, I'm like 2-3 years old right here, so I don't really know what's going on. I just have that flashback of that moment, and it's a very important moment for me because it set forth everything that has happened in my life afterwards. There was a period in time where I wasn't really playing Street Fighter or anything, but fighting games were in my life. I would go to the arcades and I'd play Mortal Kombat 3. And I remember KOF 98, just fighting games were always a part of my life, Tekken 3. But it wasn't until I was 14 years old when I started playing Street Fighter 4. And even before that, too, like I had seen the Street Fighter 2 movie when I was younger, and it was just one of the coolest movies that I've ever seen. And Ken is so sick in that movie. And then when I was about 8 years old, I moved from Kuwait. I was born in Kuwait. I moved from Kuwait to the United States. And like every, you know, young teenager, when Call of Duty first came out, that changed everyone's lives. Call of Duty 4, that game was absolutely amazing. And I remember getting the 360 for that. I had to get straight A's in school for me to get the 360 in order for me to play Call of Duty 4. So once that happened, I had the machine, and I saw one of my buddies on Xbox Live Party, you know, the golden era, the Xbox Live parties. He was playing
for
Street
days,
Fighter 4.
Man, you would just hang out in Xbox Live parties and chill.
You really would, man. It was a great time. It was a great time in gaming. And I asked him, like, oh, how's that new Street Fighter? And he told me how good it was. And from here, from that moment, my birthday was coming up. And with me and my family, it's like, I didn't really get an allowance or anything when I was growing up. It was more so you get a video game, you know, for Christmas and for your birthday. And that's all I needed at the time. So my 14th birthday hits, and I tell my dad, like, hey, I want to go to Best Buy, get this game. So I go to Best Buy, and, you know, I've told this story before, but it's a very important story to tell because it, I guess, reaffirms my belief that everything happens for a reason, and my belief in God, and in my just belief that my life is a movie from everything that I've experienced from that moment on. So pretty much like I'm in Best Buy, my older brother wants me to get Pro Evolution, which is a soccer game, and I grabbed that game. But I'm telling you, man, when I looked at Street Fighter 4, I stopped and I looked at Street Fighter 4, and there was like voices in my head that were telling me to play this game, that buy this game, buy this game. I legit could hear a voice in my head telling me to buy this game, that it was going to change my life. I distinctly remember that. A voice telling me, buy this game, it's going to change your life. So I'm 14 years old right now, you know, like, you know, it's very rare to have like experiences like that at 14 years old, where you could hear a voice inside your head, and, you know, it just feels like a divine intervention almost.
So Ken was talking to you. Ken was talking to you at that time.
Man, I don't think it was Ken, bro. I think it was God. I thoroughly believe that it was God talking to me at that moment. And
you just broke Blaze's heart, just so you know, because he's a huge soccer person, football person.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a way, it panned out for you. So, but yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge soccer fan, and I always play soccer games with my brother, like FIFA and Pro Evolution when I was growing up.
But I still play FIFA.
But I didn't want to get that game. I didn't want to get that new Pro Evolution. I just, something in me was calling for Street Fighter. So I'm at the cash register with Pro Evolution in my hand, and everything is kind of pulling me back like a magnet. So I literally just grab the game from the cash register, and I run back, grab Street Fighter 4, and then I run back to my dad.
You gotta know I'm from the 80s, right? Early, like, I'm born 1980, so I grew up with all the Street Fighters from the beginning, and I've played every single Street Fighter game. So
yeah.
I love that game. And what was it again? Hadouken! Hadouken!
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, man, Street Fighter, a lot of people, that's one thing about Street Fighter that's really cool is, you know, no matter what part of the world that you're in, if you say Hadouken, you know, they're going to know what you're talking about. If you say Ryu and Ken, they know who you're talking about. So Street Fighter is just a global name. And, you know, I'm very grateful for it being what it is, because it allowed me to have a platform and it allowed me to compete and do some great things in my life. But yeah, so I guess continuing with that story, I started playing online and I started realizing, like, oh, man, this game is a lot of fun. Like, it's not like Call of Duty. I don't have to rely on teammates. If I fuck up, it's my fault. So for some, I don't know, it's crazy. After about a year of playing it, I started, it was like a random internet search. I don't know what I was doing on the internet, man, but I randomly stumbled upon Justin.tv. I think it was like Justin TV at the time.
Yeah, Justin TV. And
the Evo Grand Finals was happening. And I was like, oh my God, like people play this game for tournaments and money and stuff. Like, why can't I do it? So from that moment on, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to become professional and I want to be the best Ken player in the whole world. And this isn't that. So that started, that was the Kickstarter for me, you know, wanting to play and compete in Street Fighter, and just the craziest of experiences that follow afterwards. And
yeah, I mean, I think that happens for a lot of competitive people, that like for you, you love this game, and then like you said, you turned on Justin TV and you're like, wait a second, this is whole nother level. This is absolutely something you didn't know existed, you know? And it's like when you see that happen, it's like the light bulb clicks, like boom. And it's like you have that tenacity. You're like, that's going to be me one day. That is going to be me. So.
And it was really awesome too, because at the time I had a buddy of mine, his name was Filipino Man. And we used to play Xbox Live together. Like, we used to play Street Fighter together online. And then one day he invites me to a party and he's like, hey, like, I know another SoCal player that actually lives near you. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what's his name? So I could, you know, we could meet up offline and play. And keep in mind, I'm like 14 and a half, 15 years old at this time. And he's like, oh, this guy's name is Brent. He's like a couple years older than you, but he lives near you. And I'm like, all right, for sure. So me and Brent start playing. And then Brent invites me out to like local practice sessions. He was friends with the local guys that played Street Fighter. So he invites me out. And then I meet everybody, the local homies from the high desert, through Brent. And then we find out about Wednesday Night Fights. And then as a crew, we start attending Wednesday Night Fights. And that was like my first tournament experience. So it's just crazy how things happen, man. Like, you just never expect it, you know?
I mean, and it's like that one moment, though. You're just like, I mean, for you, it's multiple moments. You could have had a soccer game, and then something inside says, no, this isn't the game for you. And, you know, look at what it leads you to. I mean, in your wildest dreams, I mean, I imagine just talking to you, like, your dreams and visualization is so much bigger than what people would think. Like, you've seen the path, and that's a good thing. I think people, especially kids nowadays, just that they don't have that foresight. It's like, you know, if I mean, you're known as the world's best Ken player, you know, it's like some people was like, I just want to be good, you know, I just want to be that. I mean, you are like, you know what, I'm going to compete and I'm going to go to the next level. And then you start getting this experience in Street Fighter. I mean, like Blaze, when, you know, I've said it in several episodes with H1Z1, you know, he's from a country of a million people, and he's going to be like, I'm going to be on TwitchCon playing H1Z1. I'm going to be on the biggest stage for H1Z1, you know? And then he did it, you know? And I'm just like, I mean, so you start competing in these Wednesday night fights.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens from there? I mean, does...
So, from there, I got to meet legends in the Street Fighter community, like Mike Watson, Alex Vai. Those two guys had a lot to do with just talking to me about the game and how the mind works when you play fighting games, things that you need to be looking out for, especially for Street Fighter, just like advice. And, you know, Watson owned Super Arcade. So it's like we would go into tournament, and then when I would lose, I would literally run over to Watson and be like, all right, this is how I lost. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, and he didn't even play Street Fighter 4 like that, but he's just one of the gods of Street Fighter in American history. So, and he would just tell me like, oh, you know, maybe you should focus more on this or in this situation. Like, one of the biggest problems I had when I was younger was that when I'm about to kill somebody, like when I'm about to beat them in the round, when they have no life and I have a little bit more life than they do, I was always the one that was taking a risk and getting myself killed for it. And that was plenty of conversations that I would have with Watson and Vi about, you know, when you have the life lead, you got to be able to control your life and not take as big of a risk, because you don't need to. Your opponent has to take the risk. Just advice here and there, mentorship type advice, you know, that just guides you in the right direction. That gives you the blueprint, and you're the one that has to construct it all in your mind, you know, because you can't really, like, the only thing you can do when you're advising somebody on what, how to play Street Fighter or just a fighting game, is you just give them the seed, right? And it's up for them to water it. That's how it goes with fighting games, in my opinion. And that's how it went with me. And we were competing in Wednesday Night Fights, and then we went to Evo. And I had like my first breakout moment in Evo, where it was 2012. And I think I was like the only person that had taken the game off of Infiltration. And I was like 16, 17 at the time. And that was a big deal. Everyone was like, what the heck is this online Ken player that, you know, was able to beat Infiltration a match? So that moment was really special for me as well. And like you said, Junk, it's a plethora of moments that have happened in my life that lead to the, you know, wildest of dreams coming true. But it all stems back from that one significant moment of, do I get this game or do I not get this game? So I always refer back to that one moment that just chained everything else that follows afterwards. But you're absolutely right. It's just a lot of moments that happen, and depends on the decision that you make as a person. And you're right when it comes to, most people are just like, yeah, I like playing video games, and you know, this, I just enjoy playing the game, but I'm not going to take it any further. But for me, it was more so of a challenge to prove to my parents that I wasn't wasting my time. Because, you know, like, oh, you're wasting your time. Go focus on school. You're not making any money. This and that, this and that. I'm like 15, 16 years old, and I'm trying to tell them, like, no, I think I could do this. Like, I really could do this and do something with it, you know? And it wasn't until I started getting sponsored and traveling the world where my dad and mom became supportive, very, very supportive of me. And they started watching my tournaments, and my dad would get angry when I would lose. He'd be like, don't put yourself in the corner. Like, why are you putting yourself in the corner? Yeah. So one of the things that was a huge blessing for me as well was that my parents started supporting me. And people don't realize how important it is for parents to support their children when their child has an outlandish type of dream of doing something, you know, accomplishing something that doesn't seem normal. Like, my parents grew up in the Middle East, bro. Like, they're not like video games. Like, they just worked hard their entire lives just to make ends meet and provide for us. So when you're over here playing video games and, you know, trying to make a name of yourself for it, it just seems not so.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like the same way, kind of like with my parents and stuff like that. And I'm sure with Blaze's parents, until it happened, you know, they're just like, hey, what, I don't work 90 hours a day for you to play, you know, like,
right.
And it's like, and as parents out there, I always say that if your grandchild has a talent, a gift to do something, always be supportive. Because you never know where it may lead. Because I'm sure when you were like 14 years old, your mother, your father never thought you would travel all over the world playing a video game that you wanted.
My dad still is like mind blown from it. He was like, I can't believe you went to Japan for a freaking video game and you didn't eat any sushi, because I ate seafood.
Oh, you hate seafood. Oh yeah, yeah. But still, dude, I love it. Yeah. I was in Japan for 2.5 years, and I would go back in a moment.
Yeah, bro. Japan is just top five places I've ever been. Just too amazing.
You ever been to Belgium?
I actually haven't been to Belgium, no.
Oh, Blaze. Sorry.
Blaze, you gotta invite me over,
I mean,
bro.
The capital of Europe, you know, is in Belgium.
Yeah.
So, where have you been in Europe, if I may ask?
I've been to London. I went to England, and I went to London, Birmingham.
That's not Europe. That's just an island floating.
Nah, that's Europe. That's Europe to me, bro.
That is EU for us. So.
That's EU for me, so I'll take that. I consider that Europe.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean, that's
no,
just,
go ahead.
No. I mean, that just it shows that, like you said, and I hope that if you're a parent out here hearing that, like, you know, with Chris's, you know, all of a sudden, once he sees that, you know, once they see what happens, is that competitive players and like Blaze is a competitive player. He was a H1Z1 pro. I was an H1Z1 esports manager, so I'm, you know, so I look at things differently. So Blaze looks at things from a competitive standpoint, and like you referenced back to Call of Duty, like I did the Call of Duty, the GBs and the game battles, search and S&D tournaments and stuff.
Yeah.
But you look at things as a player when you're competitive versus casual. Like, let me ask you this: if you were to fire up Street Fighter 4 right now, could you play that for fun? Or are you paying that as competitive? You know, are you able to flip off the light switch and be like, all right, it's...
Depends on the setting. It depends on the setting. So like...
I'm saying is, that, so say if it's you and Blaze, mm-hmm. you're like, I'm just going to toy around with this guy. Say Blaze hits like a 6-hit combo on you.
Yeah.
Is it not casual anymore? Or is it, you're not doing this to me, pal?
No, it's you're not doing this to me. If Blaze, you get 2 hits on me, it's already disrespecting.
All right, Blaze, no 2-hit combos, all right?
Yeah, exactly. Because I got a reputation to uphold, you know, like, especially when it comes to the homies. Like, they know how good I am. My friends that I've known for years and years, you know, even outside of fighting games in general, just like mates that I've had from, you know, college. Damn, you know, I've been talking to some British people and I just said mates.
Oh,
But yeah, I mean, I tell them like, yeah, I'm good and this and that. They know how good I am until they actually play me, though. I've had a couple of my bros like challenge me. And it's just funny. One of the stories that I have is because one of my bros challenged me and I beat him blindfolded. And it was in front of a couple of other bros. Yeah.
No.
And I told him like, bro, I will body you blindfolded. And, you know, just that's like me having fun. But if I were to lose a round, I would have been like, all right, yeah, let me just put the blindfold down. And
yeah, I'm just telling you right now, like if me and Blaze were to go 1v1 and he beats me blindfolded, my PC gets sold tomorrow. I am never, ever going to game or do anything again.
And that's ultimate form of disrespect.
And I was like, then that was your buddy. But you know what, though, in a way,
but like, you can't be talking shit. You can't be talking shit and not expect to, you know.
So you've been to London, you've been to Japan. I mean, what orgs have you been a part of, though? I mean, because it's like when I was an esports manager, like when I would go to like H1Z1 events and stuff like that, you know, you're just like, man, this is a competitive game. Like, I never knew, you know. I know there's always a big fighting thing, like the Super Smash scene is always going to be big and stuff.
Always relevant, you're
but,
right.
But, I mean, who all have you been, what orgs have you been a part of?
So I've been part of quite a bit since I was about like 16 years old, I think. I was with Mad Cats back in the day, and then I was with a group called TTC, and then I was with a group called DRS, and then it was NGL, and then it was Denial, and then EVB, and XP, and my most recent one was Cygames Beast at the time when it was still with Cygames. So I've had quite a few sponsors throughout my career, and I've just been glad that I've been, you know, blessed enough to have an opportunity to get paid for something that I enjoy doing. And just have more than the pay itself, because like you said, like fighting games aren't as big as Call of Duty and League of Legends. So the players in fighting game, the pro players are not really making as much as everybody else. It's more so of the experiences that we're gaining are priceless.
Yeah, I mean, those are, and like, there's
it
something...
would it would be nice if we got a little extra pay out of it, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah, you know, hook it up.
Take
guys.
What you got. You got a flight over to this country, I'm taking it. I will take this flight.
I mean, because there's something about like putting on like a competitive jersey that, like, I mean, what was that feeling like the first time you put on your first team jersey?
It felt, at the time I was 16 years old, so that just, you just feel like the coolest dude in the world, you know, like, oh, I'm playing video games, I'm sponsored, you know, I got a jersey now. It just, it's a great feeling to know that you're at least recognized by a company that wants to help you, you know, and the key word here, wants to help you, or you think that companies want to help you, because, you know, there's a whole dark side of all of that that we could get into as well.
I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, I mean, it's like, I mean, I just, it's just like, you're at a loss for words, because you know that there's a fighting game scene, and it's not as big as a lot of places, or some sports, but, you know, it's like, it's a game that's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, I'm sorry. I was looking at your your information here that just is it. But you know, it's just like, and I was lost. This is, don't get old, Chris. This is what happens. Like,
yeah, don't get old like Junkhead.
I'm 26 now. I'm 26. I'm already on that path.
Oh my
God. I'm 40 and Junkhead is like 69 or something like that.
I wish 69 is a good number, but no, I'm not that old. I mean, so it's like, so you accomplished at your age at 26. I mean, what is the, like, you know, you look at Call of Duty, they say after like 21, 22, their careers are pretty much done for, you know? Age that I'm just saying is that the competitive pro scene for Street Fighter, you start seeing those guys go away?
I would say the day before you're in the casket.
Oh, yeah, there we go. You hear that, Blaze? Yeah, I still got a shot, baby.
Yeah, you definitely do. Yeah. I mean, our oldest player in the scene that actually competes, his name is Sako, and I think he's like 45, 46, something like that. You could be old, man, and you could still play the game because it doesn't really require too much physically. Like, it doesn't have the same wear and tear as keyboard and mouse. Like, you have your wear and tears for different types of controllers that you're using to game. Like a PS4 type, regular type controller has its own set of problems on your hands. A fight stick has its own set of problems on your arms and your hands. Keyboard and mouse, I think, are the most like deadly for your arms after a long time of gaming. But with something like fighting games, it's so much more mental than it is physical aspect of it. Now you definitely do need to know your combos, and you do need to know certain things that you got to do with your hands, but all of it, like 95% of it, is mental. And it's you know, you don't have to be a certain age to stop playing. The older you are, the more experience you have, so it could actually be more beneficial for you to be older in fighting games because you have so much more experience and you understand situations better than somebody that might be younger than you is capable of understanding at the time.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been playing somebody at a LAN event and they're so upset, they just unplug the controller and walk off?
Oh, plenty of times. I've seen people lose and like throw their sticks, like break it in front of me. I've had like threats that have been done on me too, like, just, you know, when you're salty, you say some stupid shit, you know?
I can tell you, I don't think I ever told Junkhead that, but one time I lost a game in FIFA. I got so mad I threw my controller at my laptop and broke the whole screen on the laptop.
That's a story that I feel like all of your listeners can relate to in some form of way, like even myself. But I'll share this story with you guys. There was one tournament, man, where I got robbed. Like, I literally got robbed in the tournament, and I should have won this match, and some bullshit happened in the match, and I lost. And it was to qualify for top 8. I literally took my stick and I bashed it. Like, I socked the shit out of it a couple of times, and I was bleeding on my hand. And that's the dumbest thing that you could do as a professional gamer, because your hands are your money makers. But sometimes, bro, you know, when you put so much energy into something and so much passion, it's like you can't help but be angry at yourself for losing, because I'm not angry at the person next to me. He capitalized. I'm not angry at a potential teammate for fucking up. Like, I was clutch and my four other teammates dropped it. It was all me. It was all my mind. I was weak mentally. I cracked mentally. I choked mentally. You're not great. You got a lot room to grow. So you fucked up. And sometimes that results into you being a little bit more harsh on yourself, and you got to let it out with a certain type of anger. You know, sometimes you got to be angry at yourself. Now, I wouldn't recommend you socking your stick or bashing your hands in or something like that. But understand that if you are doing something at such a high level and with so much pressure and stress, that sometimes your mind cracks and sometimes you have to do some stupid thing like...
I got a worse one. I cracked a laptop in two on my knee.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you go, like, oh shit, there goes two.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you, man? How much is a fight stick compared to a laptop?
It was a FIFA game.
Yeah. One of the best things that I feel like young gamers that are looking to be professional, because you have to be able to distinguish whether or not you want to become professional, right? I think that if you are trying to become professional and trying to become elite at a video game, doesn't have to be Street Fighter, you have to be able to practice patience and you have to be able to practice calm-mindedness. You have to have self-control over your mind. The more self-control you have over your mind, the better it will be for you as time goes on. Because I've seen players that have been playing longer than me and they can't win a tournament because their mind state is just not good. They behave the same way every time when they lose because their mind state is not controllable. You have to have control over your mind and learn how to breathe as a gamer that is trying to accomplish greatness, because you're going to lose so much. You're going to lose more than you're going to win, and you have to be able to take those losses.
Yeah, and I've always said, though, you can always tell the metal the of a gamer by how they handle a loss versus a win.
How they handle a win, absolutely.
So, I mean, let's face it. If you've been on, I've lost count of the amount of Xbox 360 controllers I've broken, or even like Super Nintendo controllers. You know, you're just like, man, they're so easy to throw. Like, you spin it like a lasso.
So easy. Yeah,
and you're like,
oh,
I'm gonna put this through the wall. And I did in Japan one time, and I was like, man, now I gotta fix that. I'm never gonna do that again. So, but I mean, I just think that people need to be aware is that it doesn't matter what game it is, that there's a chance that you could do something bigger and something better than you dreamed of. You know, like, you had this little Ken with the wings on your shoulders, like, let's do this, and we're gonna do this ride, and look at you, you've traveled over the world, you've competed at the highest level. I mean, what was it like when you won your first tournament?
Okay, so there's different tiers for tournaments, right? You have your local tournaments, then you have your major tournaments, and then you have your Super Bowl tournaments, right? And the Super Bowl is like Capcom Cup. The Super Bowl would be like CDL for Call of Duty, right? So, or like the finals or something like that. So when I won my, let me see, the first tournament that I won, I believe, was Wednesday Night Fights, which was a local tournament, but that was not an easy tournament to win at all because we had the hardest players in SoCal. And I was getting second place for a year and a half to somebody. I was losing to somebody for a year and a half straight of getting second place. I would get to grand finals, lose, grand finals, lose, grand finals, lose. That beats you down mentally so hard when you constantly get second place to somebody and you just cannot crack the code. You're beating everybody else except for this one person who just has your number. And when I ended up...
Do you remember who that was? Do you remember who it was?
Yeah. His name is Snake Eyes. He's one of the best players, again, in fighting games. And he plays Zangief. And at the time, like, I didn't really have much experience against Zangief. So I didn't really know the matchup that well when we first started playing and how good Snake Eyes actually was. It's crazy because Snake Eyes was free back in the day. Like, I remember playing Snake Eyes online in like earlier Street Fighter 4 in like arcade edition, and he was trash, like literally trash. And then he goes on a hiatus for like 6 months, comes back, and is one of the best players in the world. It was the craziest thing ever. And then that's when I had learned that he actually won Evo for Street Fighter 2 HD Remix. So I was like, okay, so he's not just a Street Fighter 4 player, like this guy knows his Street Fighter. And I mean, he has his own, you know, legacy, Snake Eyes, and the things that he's accomplished as well. So yeah, I mean, he was the demon for such a long period of time, and then when I beat him, it was such an amazing feeling. I remember literally, like, I won, and then I ran in the parking lot of Super Arcade, and I was just running because I was so happy, because it took a year and a half to beat somebody, you know. And then so that was a great feeling, right? But then you get the feeling of, the thought enters your mind, oh, can you do it again, or are you trash? Like, are you really just going to only win once, or are you going to dominate? Because it's not good to just win once. You better dominate. That's how you get your name remembered. So then you have that battle of, okay, now I'm in this local tournament. I'm expected. I'm top two expected every single time. So I got to start winning. And then that started leading into an era where I was winning Wednesday Night Fights consistently. And going back and forth with Snake Eyes, and then consistently winning, and then back and forth with Snake Eyes. So that was a good era for the local scenes. But then while you're doing that, your mind also starts going in the direction of, okay, so you won your local tournament, but what about a major? Can you do it against different nationalities that are coming and playing in the same place? So my first time winning a major was against Justin Wong. And that was, again, just one of the best feelings that I ever had, because Justin Wong was somebody that I extremely respected in the community. And by that time, I had known him a little bit. You know, we would have conversations at tournaments. And I think I was like 19 years old at the time. And yeah, Justin was a friend by then. But he, again, Justin Wong is Justin Wong. He's literally regarded as the best American fighting game player of all time. So I had the utmost respect and admiration for Justin Wong. And to be able to play against him in that major, which was Moment 37 Reloaded, was a huge accomplishment for me. It was a huge accomplishment for me because my training partner, which was Brent, the guy that I mentioned earlier, he played the same character that Justin Wong plays, which is Rufus. And Brent was regarded as the third best Rufus in the US. It was Justin Wong, Ricky Ortiz, and then Brent. So I had the matchup experience from Brent. We've played for years and years and years. And Justin, this was my first time playing against Justin Wong. And I'm nervous, you know, it's Justin Wong, but I was also confident. Like, I know this matchup like the back of my hand. I'm not going to let Brent down. I'm going to show him that I got this shit, you know? And I ended up beating Justin Wong. And it was just a crazy, great celebration afterwards. And that was like my first major win. And then I'll go into one more, which was my first win at Capcom Cup. My first time at Capcom Cup was 2016. I had qualified for it, but I went 0-2, which was such a horrible, horrible feeling when you spend a whole year trying to qualify for a tournament and then you go 0-2. It's just like, damn, did I really just waste my time or blah, blah, blah. And then it was funny because Justin actually sat me down and he had gone 0-2 as well. And he was like, don't worry about it. Like, many people can't even say that they qualified for something as prestigious as Capcom Cup. And in 2018, when I qualified again, the only goal that I had was like, just win one fucking match, bro. Just win one, just one match. You got to beat somebody, you know? And I ended up beating my former teammate Fudo and then Xiaohai. And then I ended up losing to Bonchan and Angry Bird. But it was a great feeling getting my first win at a Capcom Cup, because it just, you know, again, reaffirms that you're one of the elites at this. You're on the legendary status. So it just feels great to win a tournament and to prove to yourself that you are as good as you think you are, because your mind can be your biggest enemy in this journey. I hope that explained it well enough, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I've always said the biggest trash-talking esports where it's almost getting ready to go down to, like, blows being thrown has always been Gears. Now, it's a fighting game. I mean, is there some trash talk that goes on? I mean, I just gotta know.
There was a lot more back in the day. Back when I first entered the scene, there was quite a bit of trash talk. And a lot of trash talk. Like, people will get in your face while you're playing in tournament and talk trash while you're in tournament, while you're playing for money. If you're playing the homie, I mean, if you're playing one of their homies, you know, they're all gonna talk shit to you while you're playing. That was really relevant back in the scene, but in the past 3 years or so, I feel like that's died down quite a bit because of how much more prestigious it's gotten. Like nowadays, if I'm sitting down in tournament and somebody's next to me screaming in my face, I would have a problem with it, because it's like I've spent a lot of energy and hours. This isn't just some random tournament for like $100. This is literally thousands of dollars are on the line. And you better get the fuck off of my face, because I'm trying to concentrate. So it doesn't work like that anymore. But there is still quite a bit of shit talk that goes on, because it's the nature of fighting games.
That's what I would say, too. Yeah,
you know, it's just nature of fighting and to talk shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, can you tell that? I mean, let me ask you this. All right. The like NA players versus like EU people that come from, like, you know, like the Far East, like, I just see them as being like the casual sitting down, trying to pay attention, not talk much, compared to the, let's face it, we're NA, we kind of have big mouths. I mean, we're like, look, we're writing a check and we're about to cash it, and it's going to be on your ass right now. Mm-hmm. So don't be offended by what I'm going to say.
Right. So. I would agree with you and say that NA is the biggest shit talkers in the world when it comes to fighting games, from what I've seen in my experience. I would say countries like the Far East, countries like Japan or Korea or China, they don't really talk shit like that. They hype up their guys when they're winning, you know? They'll start making like loud noises when their guys are winning, but they're not actively talking shit. Whereas NA guys, we're talking shit. People in South America, we talk our shit, you know? So I think NA and South America definitely talk the most shit. Europe also talks their shit, but like the Asian countries don't really talk as much shit.
Now, what's the, like, as far as biggest crowds, what's the loudest crowd that you've ever, like, where, like, you could barely hear anything? Because you look at, like for Call of Duty, like, there's champs. It's so ridiculously loud. What's the loudest, like, event?
The loudest?
Yeah.
The loudest was when I went to the Dominican Republic and I was in grand finals against Caba, which was a Dominican Republic player. So it was him defending his home turf against me. And literally the entire venue was just buzzing, like, screaming. I couldn't even hear the game like that. It was just the entire place was rupturing. Anytime he landed a jab on me, the whole place would just scream at the top of their lungs. So that was the loudest venue that I had played in and the loudest situation that I had to play in, where I had to drown out the noise of everybody in the crowd that were screaming for Caba to win. And I actually used it to my advantage, because rather than my mind succumbing to the knowledge of audience members rooting against me, my mind shifted that noise and had the thought, this is more pressure on him because it's his home turf and he has to defend it. So him hearing the crowd is more pressure than it is on you. That's how my mind took that situation, and it ended up working for me and I won the tournament.
So how did the crowd react to you beating the hometown boy, though? I mean, was it
They didn't like it, you know? I mean, they were upset, but by that time, I had already been in the DR for like two, three days, and I had already made friends with everybody there, and they knew how cool I was, you know? I was cool with everybody there, and I had respect for everybody there, and it wasn't like once I stepped down from the trophy, I had a lot of people come up to me like wanting to take pictures and congratulating me. And they were saying like they were fans and, you know, I hope you're enjoying your stay in the DR. So it was all love, you know, they were just rooting for their guy because that's their guy. It's for their country. So I had no problem with it. I was already cool with the DR guys, and I would have done the same thing if somebody came to my home turf playing against somebody from my nationality, you know? So it was pretty good when I ended up winning, you know. It was just the very moment where I do win, it's like, oh, like, he didn't win, Caba didn't win, but they're like, okay, well, Chris won, let's go party. That was their hey, let's go out and drink, let's go have a good time.
Did you like look at him and go womp 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 womp?
Not at all, because I knew what it is, man. I knew exactly what it is, so it wasn't any hard feelings or anything like that. I was just really proud of myself for clutching it out.
I mean, if I'm just going through when
I need to clip that womp 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 from Junket. I really need to clip that. That was the perfect womp 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 in the world.
Right. I do that when I'm playing games all the time, so it's there all the time. But, and that's what I like.
Sorry, I tease Junket so much with his like gameplay. It's all starting to be a meme, you know.
Even his
fiance is saving his ass in video games.
We're not talking about that, you know. I mean, she's getting better, so, and she's carried that.
Or you're getting worse.
I don't know. It's the mouse and keyboard. That's all I'm blaming on mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you go through and you look at, and I'm looking at your bio that Justin graciously sent us. Thank you again, Justin. And I'm looking at what you've been, you know, the publications that you've been in: ESPN, ESPN. Yahoo Sports, Dot Esports, The Score Esports, Event Hubs, and Red Bull Gaming. I mean, how do you even approach when say, hey, this is Joe Bagadonis from ESPN. We want to do we want to talk to you. Is that okay? I mean, it's like, because now, like, esports has been pushed more towards the forefront because, and like, we've talked to several guests and stuff before, It's like when we were younger, Blaze is like older than me by like 5 years. You know, it wasn't cool to be a gamer. It wasn't cool to be this. And then now, like, you're seeing esports featured on major, like, sports networks, you know? And the cool thing about it is that you see these pro athletes, you know, like we did Armand Green, you know? And it's like, you know, they're just like, no, man. I mean, like, I play sports. Does that make me a nerd? You know, and then they're streaming on Twitch. They're doing stuff. And they're even these people are getting involved into in esports orgs. Look at NRG. He's got, like, what, Shaq, A-Rod, a bunch of, like, professional athletes see that there's a value in that. And so, I mean, what is that like when, you know, someone reaches out to you? Hey, this is, like I said, Joe Bagadone from ESPN. We want to talk to you. I mean, is that like another thing that lets you know, hey, I've made it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was going to say that. You don't really know how to, I didn't really know how to go about things like that, to be honest. Like, because I try to remain as humble as I can and not let shit like this get to my head, because it's very easy to develop an ego when you become a certain level and when you...
That's not true. Drunkhead didn't make a t-shirt about me saying Blaze D.
I did make a shirt about him called the Blaze D. It's my best selling shirt ever. Blaze. The funny thing about it is Blaze bought the first one. Blaze bought the first one.
Of course, if I'm a diva, if somebody makes a shirt from me, I should buy it.
There's a Blaze Diva shirt in Belgium. There's a Blaze Diva shirt in the UK. There's a Blaze Diva. Oh, they're all over. It's worldwide.
I'm gonna have to get one myself. I'm gonna need Blaze's autograph on that.
I told him he could.
Next TwitchCon,
we'll hook you up. So, but
it's not going to your head, and that's really important. I think, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're just grateful that a company that is as well known as these companies are interested in interviewing you. You know, it's like I'm just some random Joe. You know, I'm just living my life, and you want to interview me? Like, thank you. I'll do my best to give you what you want. That's how I always approach the situation. I try to provide as much detail as I can and take it as another blessing in my life, you know, because not many people can say that they've been on these platforms for just an interview, an article, and they're interested in you. It's just more things that I can add to my resume, you know, as a professional gamer.
I mean, yeah,
and
that's
outside of gaming too, that just looks good, you know. When you say like, yeah, I've been on Yahoo Esports and Red Bull and ESPN and stuff, and like that just sounds really, really good. It makes for good conversation.
Well, and not only that, yet if you look at, you know, say when the rest of the Street Fighting League is happy that you finally retired from competing, and so now that even possibly opens up a platform for you down the road. So, you know, less is more. Like, I had a chance. ESPN approached us for the Fragging and Lagging podcast, and they said, who's your co-host? And I said, this guy in Belgium. And they were like, is his name Joachim Blaze? And I said, yeah, that's him. And they said, not interested. And they're not returning my calls anymore. So, you know, it's not fair. You know, sad times. Sorry, Blaze. So, but I mean, it's just... Dude, I love Blaze to death, man. People think that Blaze and I like don't like each other.
That's how you know somebody's really close to you.
That's the whole meme, you know. When he releases a clip of him playing a video game, I'm like, man, you're really bad at every game you play, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
And then because that's what I liked about, and I really enjoyed Blaze's story, because you know, like, Blaze started out streaming in English in Belgium and was one of the top two biggest streamers in Belgium, made it on the English platform. Now the Belgium stream community, he's streaming only in Dutch. So when he comments something on a TikTok I do or a tweet, he'll say something. I said, no, Dutch, please. And then he'll comment in Dutch, you know. And I was like, but I'm all for that. But this isn't, see how.
Hey, I had the honor to have Chris in my stream yesterday. Like, hey, read my message, Blaze. yeah, he did.
Did you just hard flex on me about that? I mean, gosh, Blaze, 50 gifted. That's all I'm going to say. But no, I mean, it's just like, it's so cool. Like,
why is it always about Twitch Prime and gifted with you? Oh my God.
Well, you know what? I'm an old guy.
Man's got to make his money too.
You know, baby needs a new pair of shoes. That's all I'm going to say. Like, Blaze wouldn't get that reference, but But you know, it's like I'm always like, when I look at things, I look at from like the esports managerial standpoint. I'm all about like saying I want people to do great things in their career, and it's so cool. Just you hear the story like with you and your family, Chris, and you're like, they were apprehensive at first, and now, like you said, your dad is like, look, I'll text you when I'm not pissed at you. You pushed that when you shouldn't have. You toyed right. with your teammate, you know, your opponent, and I'll yeah. talk to you in about a week, you know. So yeah. it's really great that that you guys have that. I mean, has your dad ever squared up against you and said, hey,
no.
let's no, do this, no, man. No. What would you do if you and your dad, any picks Ken before you?
Man, you know, I'd say, Dad, I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in a week, Dad.
I'll talk to you in a week.
Kid.
So. No, my dad actually used to play a lot of video games with us when I was younger. Like he used to love like helicopter games, like chopper games. You know, those old school 90s, like old consoles, like the chopper games on them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Those
yeah,
are my
yeah.
dad's favorite. So he used to play video games with us, but you know, life happens and he's a father that has to provide. So he didn't really have as much time to play, with us anymore, but you know, he did what he could and he at least supported, you know, and that's what I was grateful for. So if he didn't support me, even though he sees me doing really good, that would have sucked. But you know, I think me as a father as well, like if I ever become a father, God willing, if my kid was like, Dad, I want to be a pro this player, or pro this, I'd be like, son, if you don't get your education, you know, I think it's very normal for a parent.
How many times did you hear that when you're like, hey, I want to compete. Maybe you should go to college. Maybe you should get your degree
quite
first.
Quite often. It was like a daily thing.
Well, I think like that, daily thing. That is like the older, like my parents and stuff like that, they're, you know, like I said, I'm 48. So my yeah. parents are like, hey, do this, do that. You have to set yourself up for success. Whereas like you look at games like Fortnite, you know, Fortnite, because
16-year-old won 3 million.
Yeah. I mean, the competitive age is like what, 13 to whatever, you know? So right. these parents now, when they see potential in their kids, they're like, yeah, that's fine. We'll homeschool you. You can do this. You can do that. It's not a big deal. So,
well, my thing with that is I think that any young gamer needs to be realistic as well, because I was realistic while I was also having a dream of being a pro fighting game player. And the reality is that you can't just put all your eggs in that basket. I've been in this community for way too long, in just the gaming community, not just Street Fighter. You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting many different gamers from different communities, and our stories are all pretty much the same. It's about like 98% don't get lucky. We don't get lucky and just like make a lot of money off of like one stream or something like that. We can't fully rely on the gaming in order to provide for us, whereas there's like 1-2% who literally just strike gold. For example, like I had met Ninja at a E-League party, and I asked him like, bro, how did that happen with you and Drake? And it just kick-started everything for you. And he was like, to be honest, bro, it was luck. It was literally pure luck. I got lucky. And you know, I genuinely believe that, because I've heard stories like that from other gamers as well that have hit gold, you know. And the point of what I'm trying to say is that be realistic, get your education and get a degree, go past high school, go to college, get a degree. That way, if the gaming doesn't work out, you have something to fall back on, bro, because you don't want to be 26 years old with no college degree, and then you don't really have a resume like that, because you weren't taking jobs and you were just focused so much on grinding and grinding and grinding in the video game. And what happens when a video game updates and your character is no longer top tier? What happens when the gun that you're using is no longer top tier? What happens when the game adds a new mechanic that just sucks, but you have to deal with it, and now it makes your win percentage lower? You can't do that to yourself, because then you have no one else to blame but yourself, in my opinion. I think that you got to really strive for more outside of the gaming. Like, for me, I went to college to be a dentist. I realized 2 years into being in college that, dude, I don't want to be a dentist, but I'm 2.5 years into chemistry right now, because I needed a chemistry degree for that. pursuing of the dentistry. It was either bio or chem at the time. But yeah, so I was like, okay, well, I'm still competing. I'm still in college. I got to balance both competing and going to school at the same time. But I can't give up on school because I'm this far in. And I can't give up on Street Fighter because I'm this far in. And my career is taking off even more. So it was really hard to balance both, but I was able to get it done. And I know that if I was able to get it done with a chemistry degree, then anybody else can get it done unless they're going into like medical surgeon, doctor type thing, you know?
I mean, yeah, I mean, you gotta, like, I've always said you gotta have a backup plan on right. anything you do because when you...
Because life isn't fair, bro. Life happens. Life happens.
It's like that what is it? And they said, life is gonna kick you down and they're gonna stomp on you. And it's up to you whether or not you want to get back up. Because we've all, like, had those moments where, like, you know what, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. And I always said the easiest thing that someone can do in their life is quit.
Yeah.
The hardest thing to do is stop quitting when you keep quitting over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because, like, when I got into esports management when I was 40 years old, I had tried and tried and tried, and no one would give me the time of day. And I jokingly replied to someone's tweet, and they DM'd me. And then it led me with the first esports org, which led me to Apotheon Esports. And then, and I was like, it was like you said, it was like, you know, that one moment that happens for you that opens the door for something else. And I remember, like, when I was at DreamHack Atlanta for the H1Z1 event, and this guy comes up and walks behind me, he goes, "Hey, I know you guys." And I turn around and it's Ninja, you know? And I'm like, "Dude, look at..." So it's like real big full circle. I mean, Ninja's, he's on another level, you know, but still, you know,
he's on that 1% life. He's on that, but that's not to say that he didn't deserve everything that he's gotten. The man has been able to market himself like a genius. So I can't even say anything about it. You know, he deserves everything that he has.
And as he's going, he's like setting up, like he said, when he was a competitive, hold on a second, I'm going to mute myself real quick. My fiance is playing with our grandson. Go ahead, Blaze, take over.
Okay. yeah, he plays, he and his, Junkhead and his fiance play a lot with their grandson Fortnite, but the kid is like a few years old. I asked the same question I was gonna say earlier to Ninja, and he told me the same thing. And I think he's even less than the 1%, if you know what I mean, because he had it all, man. He came on all the TV shows in the US, and he was like the face of gaming at some point of time in the US. So you know, and like. He went away, signed a big contract with that streaming company, and then he came back to Twitch now, and he's not anymore the guy he used to be viewer-wise and stuff like that, but I
think bro, it's still a millionaire, bro. He's still a millionaire.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to say he's close to maybe being a billionaire, and that's what I was going to say, is that he's seen the foresight. Is like, look, when he was a competitive player, like in Halo, H1Z1, PUBG, it's like he was a realist. He knew that at some point in time, his time was going to come. So, and then he marketed himself as a content creator and as a businessman. I mean, look, he's got to deal with what Adidas, Red Bull. I think Red Bull's a sponsor. Like Red Bull built his stream room.
The thing he did on the, what's it called for you guys in the US when you do countdown was super huge, you know?
Oh, the New Year's event. He doesn't like to talk about the Lollapalooza thing.
Think about it. Like he still did that, you know?
Yeah.
Whether or not it was cringe or anything, like he still did that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's
I'll take that any day. Fuck it.
Yeah, I'll hold that L. I'll do that.
That I was on that program.
I'll do the floss in front of like and have no one do it. But you know what though? Everyone like you look at it then is like you said though, it was like a random chance encounter with Drake helped him go up in another way.
But I always say the people behind the content creator, the streamer, the gamer, the people behind that person that support that person, that help that person, are also true heroes. Like his wife, what she all did for him as his manager from the beginning, you know, even when he wasn't that popular, but still, you know. And the thing is, like you said, it was random that he was able to play with him, but, you know, a lot of things led best. To that way. Yeah,
exactly. And sometimes that's what happens.
I mean, yeah, the gaming career. Yeah, I mean, having a good support system, whatever venture you're in, like if it's Chris's, is your parents, like Blaze is his parents and his girlfriend and whatnot. Like for me, it's my fiance, because without them, we don't get to do the things that we like to do. We didn't right. like, I didn't get the chance to, you know, to travel. If without her support backing me, I don't get to go to MLG Atlanta. I don't get to go to DreamHack Atlanta, you know, and it's like, they're like the unsung heroes, everybody that's out there. You know, you look at, like, as far as content, like Tim the Tap Man, Nick Merckx, you know, their spouses are there help for them. Out. I mean, it's like, even with me, like, Blaze has been my support system more than he knows, because he's the one that's been back there pushing me and be like, dude, oh, let's do this, these do that. You know, he comes from a different side. Like, in every guest that we have on here, like if anybody that we've ever had on here, like, actually hung back and listened to Blaze and I talk, we're like, so like your story, Chris, inspires Blaze and I to do things different, you know, like,
well, I'm
like,
glad that I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And that's like what we like about our podcast, is because not only do we learn about people, we learn their stories, and it's really inspirational. So people should really read between the lines, like when Chris is telling his story, you know, people should really listen. And if you didn't get it, do us a favor, re-listen to his episode and listen to the story between the lines, because those are like the poignant moments that people need to understand. There's people that are always gonna be better than you, but if you're not learning from your losses and you're finding a reason, then you are missing the point.
Something that you said, like, there's always going to be people that are better than you, right? And these days, it doesn't matter if somebody's better than you. You could become a content creator, and bang, there it is. You don't have to compete against anybody, only yourself. And it depends on the type of videos that you release, how good of a quality are your videos. You know, you don't even have to be like a super pro tournament player. Like, I know people that get more viewers than me and that get more opportunities and stuff just because they're more they focused early on content creating, you know, rather than the professional, like, tournament side of the scene. For me, I found more joy in the tournament than the content creating. There's no feeling, bro. There's no feeling that could replicate beating somebody to hold a fucking trophy in your hand. Like, it's its own thing. You know, there's different feelings in this planet that we have as human beings, and winning something after struggling so hard to win that thing, imagining it in your mind, imagining yourself holding that trophy, it's just a surreal feeling that gets my heart pumping, and it's just a high that can't be replicated. You know, it's a different type of high.
I mean, I like Drunkard said earlier in the episode, I was able to play the H1Z1 Invitational, and I was playing with, like, Nate was sitting next to me, the doc was there, sort of up in all the big streamers, you know. And yeah. And you had like 30,000 people in the stands. There were some of my viewers that took their car and traveled specially to that event to come and say hi to me.
Yeah.
And over 300,000 people watching on Twitch and people spamming.
Isn't that just a beautiful thing, man?
Yeah. And people spamming in other people's chat that are filming there, like, hey, I see Blaze, and like spamming my emotes. That was one of my highs, you know. And I always say, enjoy every moment of what you do. Like, even the smallest things, you know, but you'll be able to look back at it. And like, because I started streaming in Dutch, and back then Twitch and everything wasn't that popular in my country, I was showing, you know, stuff I did to people back in 2016, 2017, and they were all like, what the fuck did you do, man? Like, damn, you represented our country, and we didn't even know, because back then, you know, it wasn't, you know. So right. just seeing all that and doing all that just, you know, gives you always, you know, hope and good feelings. And like, I remember 2016, I saw the Invitational on Twitch. And I told my viewers, I was like, I'm gonna train really hard, and next year I'm gonna be there on the stage. I'm taking a bet with you guys. And the thing was, I succeeded to do that, and that was so awesome, you know?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah.
Put your mind to something.
So what are your plans for the future right now?
So right now, I mean, I'm thankful to have this partnership with Ford Models and Justin, and they're so good to me.
I never know, but I know a bunch of people we had on are with Ford Models, but what do you do for them, or what do they expect?
So, interviews, other opportunities that can come along, like we did the whole thing with Xbox Series X, and the only bad part was that because of COVID, you know, there was so many companies and things that just shut down, so there wasn't much that we could do because of COVID. But as things are starting to open up again, you know, Justin's working hard for all of us on Ford Models to get us more opportunities and to showcase more of ourselves into what it is that we do, not just as gamers. You know, like I've even had conversations with Justin where, you know, we're sponsored by a modeling company. Like, I want to be able to take modeling type photos and meet more people and network and things like that. And he's been great. He's been great the entire time. So the whole thing with Ford Models, obviously, is in my future with whatever it is that they want me to do and whatever Justin can line up. And other than Ford Models and Street Fighter, like, obviously still competing when tournaments come back, I've been focusing more on music lately and things like painting, piano.
I saw a song from you, right?
Yeah, so I had just released a song that was talking about the war that was happening in Armenia.
Yeah.
And that was like my first ever release. So I have a lot more songs that I'm working on, and hopefully I could release more music soon. So that's kind of been my focus since COVID.
I actually showed your song in my stream today.
Oh, cool.
I remember now. Yeah.
That's what's up. Thank you. Thanks for
no
sharing.
No problem,
it.
Man. I actually liked it. So, yeah.
Thank you.
And some good lyrics, you know?
That was one of the things that I wanted to really learn and study is if I'm going to rap, I want to rap lyrically and I want to be able to be a good rapper and get the respect.
I wish I could rap or sing, but I can't. Yo, my name's Joachim Blaze. I'm sitting in my chair having
gong,
a podcast with...
Gong!
There it is.
Gong!
See, I can't.
There it is.
That was good.
You went into it really easily.
He started spitting some heat.
He did. He was good.
Maybe I should practice.
You should practice.
Yeah, man, you know, my future holds... hopefully more music, hopefully more Street Fighter, and hopefully more Ford Models. That's what I'm focused on right now. It's just to make Ford Models happy, to continue doing what I'm doing with gaming, to continue, you know, hopefully in the future I could strive for, you know, a different degree, get another degree, get my master's or something, and also be more in tune with my artistic side of my mind.
Yeah, there you guys go. Dream big. Dream big at
always,
all times.
Always, because you only got one life, man.
Exactly.
That's one of my life, how you say that in English, life.
Goals?
You know, not goals, that you only have one life. Take the best
motto,
out of it.
Motto. Yeah,
life motto. Because a lot of people say, like, Blaze, you've done so many stuff in your life. You've done, you know, snowboarding, skating, so many.
Like,
you're a gamer. You're a soccer player. I visited over 40 countries in my life already, and I'm like...
Yeah, bro.
Only live once. I only have one chance to do this shit. And okay, I'm 40. Maybe I'll be dead tomorrow, but maybe I'll live another 50 years. I don't know. But like, when you can grasp a certain opportunity, just do it. Just go for it. Don't be like, should I do it or maybe next year? No, just get out of your house, do stuff. If you want to do stuff on your PC, just do it. If you want to get into guitar, learn to play the guitar. You know, whatever. You know, never give up. Never be like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. No, you do it today because maybe there is no tomorrow.
About tomorrow, exactly.
Yeah, enjoy it. You know.
I guess one of the last things that I could say is just you know, to anybody that is aspiring to be a professional gamer or a professional anything really. If you got to have belief in yourself, you know, you got to have belief in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, then nobody has a reason to believe in you. But when you show confidence and you show that belief in yourself, then you give people a reason to believe in you as well and to join, to hop on the train track with you, you know, because you're the conductor of that. You got to believe in yourself and take yourself as far as you can go before the train track stops.
Exactly. And like one of my favorite like inspirational quotes I ever had is that if you have no confidence in self, you're twice defeated in the game of life, but with confidence you have won before you've already begun or already started. And like the one person that's always going to believe in yourself is going to be you, no matter what. Yep. So there's going to be the naysayers, there's going to be the doubters, there's going to be the people that say
too
you're
many
not
of those. There's too many of those, but then it becomes a beautiful thing when you could take their negative hate and jealousy and turn it into fuel for you to achieve more.
Yeah, thanks for inspiring me to say that I can't do this. Here I am. So,
absolutely.
All right, we're coming to the end of the podcast.
You'll probably still stuck at video games.
I probably will.
You're never
going
to get.
I've accepted that.
No, I'm joking. Junk.
No.
The thing is, you can take something beautiful out of that, and I've repeated it before. Junkhead has made these episodes on his TikTok where he actually sucks. And he's actually showing people he sucks and that it's okay sucking and that he's still having fun with it, you know, Chris?
Yeah.
So just think everything the way you can.
Just don't suck like me. That's all. Wait, that sounded really bad. Don't. Okay, so. All right, so we're coming to the end of the podcast. And we always do this. We do this two random questions. One random question from Blaze, one random question from me. So I went first last time, so it's Blaze's turn to go first this time.
I'm thinking best Street Fighter game ever.
Street Fighter 4.
That was an easy one. I gotta find a better one.
Yeah, you do.
if you would want to add a character that's in some of the other Street Fighters that is not in Street Fighter 4, which one would you add?
Rufus.
Boom, two questions, let's go.
Yeah, but you gave him, those are cop-out questions.
You gave me,
so.
those are cop-out questions.
Those are feeders. So I'm going to ask a question that gives Blaze a chance to come up with a good third question. So, all right, you're in Best Buy. A little 14-year-old kid comes up. Mm-hmm. He's got Call of Duty in one hand, and he's got, let's say, Rocket League in the other hand. Mm-hmm. And he says, Mister, which game would you pick? Because I took Street Fighter out of the equation in soccer because you like them both.
Right.
So,
right.
Rocket League, Call of Duty, and this kid says, "Look, I want to be professional. Which
Call
game do you think I should play?"
Call of Duty, hands down. Call of Duty will last longer than Rocket League, in my opinion. Unless the creator.
Are you trying to make
Rocket
me cry,
League.
Chris? If it's not for your
no,
voice,
no, but
you're
I mean, Call of Duty's Call of Duty is Call of Duty. You know, there's like
the evolution of it. Yeah. I mean, there's the multiplayer and there's the battle royale side. So
yeah, and I think that you have more opportunity with Call of Duty than you do with Rocket League. I mean, no offense to Rocket League. I mean, they're more of an esport game than we are. Like, they have more money than we do. But I think if somebody was legitimately asking me COD or Rocket League, I would say go to COD. But I would say make sure the homies that you have with you are pretty freaking good.
For sure.
Now, go back to your mom or dad, wherever they may be. Leave me alone.
And here's my autograph. I'll sign it for you. That's going to be worth something.
I'll sign it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever asked you for an autograph randomly out of nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten the autograph question quite a bit. It's always funny, but you know, feel like a superstar when you do it.
Yeah, because like I remember when I was in a band and we were like in like Milwaukee, and it was an all ages show.
There's people out in Milwaukee. No, I'm just kidding.
It's Algonquin, you know. It's the Wayne's World. But some little kid had a drumstick and he walked up and asked me if I would sign his drumstick, and I'm like. I was just out of this local band out of Indianapolis, and we went to Milwaukee, and this kid just asked me. It's like that surreal thing. You're like, man, I just made this kid's day, man.
Yeah.
All right, Blaze, now that you've had your cop-out questions, now's the time to shine to close the show with a random.
A hard one that I sometimes ask other guests. If you could change anything right now in your life, what would you change? Oh, I thought the sound was gone. It's a hard one, right?
that's his go-to question.
It's
a good one, though.
One thing in your life that you could be able to change right now. It can be anything. It can be... my kid is laughing. It can be anything. Health-wise,
besides the conversation with Jesus,
yeah, well, that's a thing, you know.
Let's see. Okay, right now, if there was one thing that I could change, I would change my That's probably going to be a lame answer, but I would change my, how do I say it? It's like, I wish I was better at being organized. That's one thing that I wish I would change, where I can organize my time better and balance things better.
Because
Time management. Yeah, I wish that my time management was a little bit better. And that's not to say that it's bad, but it could just be way more optimal. And I could really knock out a lot of things better with my time management. It's just, you know, life happens and you get kind of lazy with it with COVID and all of that. But I think time management is the most important thing.
Look at it like this. Like, me and Junkhead both work. So we got a full-time job. We try to stream 3 to 4 times a week. We do our podcast, and we have Frag's old podcast in between that me and him started doing now.
Yeah.
So we got the kid, we got the wife, we got a... I don't know what to do with my time, you know, because I don't have enough. And
yeah.
We still manage, all of us. And
absolutely.
Like I said, we only live once, man. Just enjoy it, enjoy every moment, and make the best out of it. That's all.
Yes, sir.
But I mean, yeah, if you look at it, like I always like it when he asks that question, because to me, in my mind, time is the easiest thing to have and the easiest thing to lose, because you can't get time back. And, you know, you may say you need a little structure in your time management, but I think when you started at your age and the fact that you're still going, I think you've done pretty good, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I don't think it's too bad, but I can always be better. Always be better.
So yes, I want to say thank you for coming on. This has been an awesome episode. And you guys, all of Chris's information will be in the description below. How often do you stream, Chris? Do you stream a lot, or are you going to more?
I have my phases, you know, like I'll have phases where I'll stream almost every single night. And then depending on what happens in my life, you know, there'll be a few breaks where I don't stream for a couple of weeks or not, but you could tell people to follow my Twitch, and you could tell people to follow my Twitch.
You guys,
Twitter,
just, it doesn't like matter. That. Everything we post for Chris in the description below, just go ahead and follow him. Just do it.
Yeah.
Everything. And it makes you guys are shouting out his music, man. I mean, that's just,
yeah, I appreciate
that's
that.
A diversification of everything. So
always got to diversify yourself. Be more versatile.
From me personally, I want to say thank you for coming on here. Thank you for telling your inspirational story. And I hope that there's some 14-year-old kid out there that is in the same position that you were at Best Buy and being like, what game should I do? And
exactly.
It doesn't matter what game it is. Go with your gut. Ride it out. You're going to have your highs. You're going to have your lows. But as long as you have more highs than you have lows, it's going to be okay.
And also do like Chris did. Ask God, you know.
Oh, absolutely. For anybody out there that's, you know, a believer in Christ, I would say talk to God about it and pray about it. And I feel like a lot of my answers have come through praying and talking to God in very difficult situations of my life and in my career. So I definitely would agree with that. But I want to say thank you to you both, Junk and Blaze, for having me on your show. I had a great time, man.
Dude, it's an honor.
It was an honor.
Oh, yeah. It was an honor. Thank you, Justin, because each time it gets better. We love learning about people's stories, and that's what
one question also. Somewhere I think in between June and August, we're doing like once a year like a charity stream for Save the Children worldwide. So we, you know, so children can go to school, and last time we collected money so we could build 2 schools in Africa for kids.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So we will probably be back in touch with you for joining us for like 30 minutes or 50 minutes on our live stream. If you would to do that, that would be amazing,
absolutely,
man.
You can 1v1 Blaze at some Street Fighter, and you have to be blindfolded. So, and if he, if Blaze loses, he's got to shave his head. That'll be the deal.
Don't touch my hair. Don't touch my hair. I mean, my legs,
hey,
my
there's
chest.
There's two
all
bald good. Guys in here. To dude, there's two bald. We're bald. We'll take it.
I'll tell you right now. When we hit a certain point, I had to shave my beard off, and I had not shaved my beard off in like. Shannon and I have been together 8 years, going on 9. For the first time, and I did it one time, so twice I've shaved my beard off, and she was like, she was in tears. She was like, no, they donated enough. And I was like, yeah, but I did it. So,
yeah.
But it's all good that we're doing it for the right reasons. So you guys, make sure you guys are going in the description below. Click every link for Chris. Check him out. Show some support. And because that would mean the most to me and Blaze.
And yeah, that would mean a lot to me as well. I appreciate
exactly.
you guys, all of you.
So, and whatever podcast platform you're listening to it on, these are a little bit lengthier, so make sure you guys you hear that. That's how excited you guys should be. Make sure you guys, they're a little bit lengthy. Go ahead and download them. Download them, get us a 5-star rating, and show some love for Chris and everything. And we look forward to
Thank
the
you,
accomplishments
Chris. Thank you.
That you are going to accomplish in the future. Because obviously, Chris is out there, and he's gaming, and he's, and if you're out there gaming, you better keep fragging out, because if not,
you'll probably be lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Mom, I gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!